That's great.
Dude, I love that song. That's awesome. I think you guys could sing that one again. I'd be ready for it. So, well, how's everybody tonight? Are you guys all ready for the service tonight? Now we come to the part where we want to honor the Lord. If we could stand and honor Him by reading Genesis chapter 39. If you have your Bibles or your apps or your iPads or your Androids or whatever droid you got, tablet, if you have it memorized, that's better. Genesis 39, and we'll be reading in Genesis 39. We're going to be looking in this message tonight at the life of Joseph. We're thinking about some of the great moments in the lives of people who in the past have faced some very difficult times, but yet have been wonderful times at the same time. And we'll look at the life of Joseph tonight, beginning with verse number 19. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were bound in prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the work that you did through the life of a man who humbled himself and was willing to follow your will. And Father, tonight, as we examine a great moment in the life of Joseph, we realize that what we look at tonight might not seem like a great moment. But Lord, certainly it was something that you worked in behind the scenes because you're God. Lord, there might be some people here tonight in this service who are not in what might humanly be called a great moment in their life. They could have been just told this past week of some tragic news that they weren't prepared for. They might be facing a trial or a difficulty or a struggle that we do not understand. But Lord, may even in the moments that appear to be bad in our life, we know that you are bigger than those moments and that you have a plan for our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide each of us as we look into Joseph's life and learn what it is that you did through him and for him and to him as an example to each of us. Lord, that we might be faithful even in those dark moments that we'll face in our life. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. What we have learned in our past study, and we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, we learned that great moments in our life are oftentimes veiled in bad moments. We learned through the life of Jacob that what seemingly was a bad moment for Jacob turned into a great moment in his life. When he was about to face his brother, who had promised to take vengeance on him for stealing his birthright, yet at that moment, God worked a miraculous work in Jacob's life. And while maybe for that very second in time, it would not have been considered a great moment, it was, for Jacob, a great moment. We look at the life of the Apostle Paul and how that the Apostle Paul was on his road to Damascus. He was going to stop the spread of the gospel. That was his intention. He was just convinced that they were doing wrong and he was going to go there and stop the spread of the gospel when God interrupted his life. God shined over him. God gave him blindness. And in that moment of blindness, an interruption in Paul's life, that moment that was bad became a great moment in Paul's life. It was there he met the Master. He met the one whom he was fighting against, and God made a huge difference in his life. Tonight, we're going to look at Joseph's life, because if you were to look at Joseph's life and you were to say, wait a minute, it was a good thing that he went to jail, Joseph would have differed with you on that. At least at the moment. Because I don't know of any time it's ever a good time to go to jail. I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, most of us aren't here on this side of the bars wishing we were inside. But what appeared to be a bad moment in Joseph's life became a great moment. It was a great moment for him. You know, if you think about Joseph's life, really he had a lot of bad moments in his life. I mean, Joseph as a young boy growing up and among 11 brothers, and God had given him a prophetic dream that one day he would reign over them. And his brothers hated him for it. And his father and his mom and dad did not understand. And his brothers decided that because of their jealousy of the coat that their father had made, one of the prized possessions of Joseph, they had taken the coat, they had taken Joseph, they had put him in a pit, his own brothers, to get rid of him, and their conscience got the best of them, and they went and they brought him out, and Judah thought the idea was to sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. At least they could get him out of their sight. And that's what they did to Joseph. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites came along, and Potiphar, one of the captains in the Egyptian army, purchased Joseph as a servant. Took him down to Egypt, and there he was in Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, Potiphar's wife began to make advances to Joseph and accused him of sexual advances that Joseph was making to her, because Joseph had refused to give in. And in Genesis 39, we find that he was now put into jail. And while he was in jail, this was the turning point in his life. Bad moment? Probably you would say yes at the time. But honestly, we learn later that Joseph said, ye meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. You see, we look here in the story of Joseph's life, and we find that there were three marks of God working in his life. I want you to notice these marks, because when we look at this, what we learn about Joseph's life is that God is sovereign. God is working in and through Joseph all the while these events were occurring in his life. By the way, it does us good to realize that God works things in our life, not always to our understanding, but many times God's working those things out. Even when we don't understand, it's God, if we are surrendered to his will, following him, it is God that works those things for his good. We learned that in Romans chapter 8. That we learn through this series that it is God that worketh all things according to his will. Not according to ours, but according to his will. We also learned a very important truth too, and that is this, that if God be for us, who can be against us? Learn the fact that God is always for you. He's not against you. And for Joseph, we could say, Joseph, God is not against you. He's for you. That he's not angry at you, but he's on your side. That he wants best, what's best for your life. And we learn in this story, this turning point in the life of Joseph, not only became a turning point for him, but for the nation. I want you to notice these three marks because they're very significant marks. Number one, you find the presence of God. The presence of God. We already read that. In fact, in Genesis 39, you're going to find four times is the presence of God mentioned in regards to Joseph's life. Let me take you back to Genesis 39. Look, if you would, at verse number 2, please. Verse number 2. We're going to make this like a Bible study tonight because it's very significant and very powerful to look at it through the eyes of God. Notice what it says in verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Let me remind you this tonight, that if there's anything that we could ever accomplish in life that has any value, it is so important that we have the presence of God in our life. We certainly need God working alongside. And let me say it this way. Not so much God working alongside us, us working alongside God. We need God there every step of the way. I would much rather be in the prison having the blessing and the presence of God than being outside the prison without the presence of God in my life. And that's how Joseph felt. In fact, one thing I learned, that when you do right, it assures the presence of God in our lives. That's what we find with Joseph. That when he did right, that God's presence was there in doing right. And by the way, doing right means that we do right even when others don't see what we do. Oftentimes people wonder, you know, well, you know, if I do that, who will ever know? There is one that will know, and that is God Himself. Amen. And so it's always important that we do right. And what it does is that God shows us. And something I learned about the presence of God, and I want us to see this. It assures us of God's presence in the good times. When the times are good. In fact, in the first part of the chapter, we find when everything was going relatively well for Joseph, God's presence was there. Do you notice that it seemed as though everything for Joseph was going relatively well? God blessed him. God prospered him. It was God's hand upon him. It was God working in Joseph's life. And whenever he became the servant to Potiphar, he looked over the house. Obviously, he looked over the plantation. He looked over all the things. And Joseph was being blessed by God. And because Joseph was being blessed by God, Potiphar was being blessed. And all of that was going on very well for Joseph in the good times. But then, when you think about it, even though he was mistreated by man, God blessed his faithfulness. The Bible says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Now think of that faithfulness as just simply that when we decide that we want to do what God asks of us, and that's what Joseph did. Joseph was absolutely connected to the presence of God. But second, I want you to notice he was assured of God's presence in the difficulty. Now, let me tell you, you got to get in mind, this prison wasn't a cakewalk. I mean, sometimes we say prison. Well, you know, they had air conditioning, color TV, you know, and they had a library that's, you know, second only to the Library of Congress. I mean, they had everything they wanted and all of that. No, it wasn't that way in the Egyptian prison. It was a horrible situation. But Joseph had decided that even if that meant that he went to prison, that he could trust God while he was there. He knew that God was to give him strength. And by the way, he was falsely accused. And let me remind you of this. Just because someone is accused does not mean that they're guilty. Now, I've had a lot of my friends be accused of things that there's no way in which they were ever guilty. They were just simply accused. And this lady was accusing Joseph, and Joseph was dealing with that personally. And you know, sometimes when you've been falsely accused, it's easy for us to want to strike back, want to defend ourselves. And by the way, you know what I found out? When you kind of try to sit around and defend yourself, you know what happens? People either choose to believe you or not believe you. But when you let God defend you, it makes all the difference in the world. And that's what Joseph was doing, was trusting God. He had to be aware of the fact that when you live for God, you'll be accused by others that you are doing something wrong. It was at this moment that Joseph knew that he could know the fullness of God's presence in his life. In Job chapter 23 and verse 10, Job knew something about that when he was going through trials. Here's what he said. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Peter also knew something about being tortured and going through some struggles and being falsely accused. And Peter said this, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried," notice what it says, "though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So this presence assures us that we have God's strength during those difficult times. And for Joseph, what was a bad moment, at least it seemed that way circumstantially, it was a bad moment. God said, "This is a great moment for you to really know who I am." Paul talks about that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering in Philippians chapter 3. He said, it's in the moments of difficulty that God's presence ministers to me. The angels ministered to Jesus when he was out in the desert being tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And God says, "I will come and minister to my people during those difficulties." So we have here for us this time of the first mark of seeing God working in Joseph's life as being there for him. But notice the second mark. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50, please. Genesis chapter 50. We'll pick up what we're skipping here in just a moment. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50 and look at verse number 18. The Bible says in verse number 18, "Now what had taken place is," let's set up the story for you to read this. What had happened now is that Joseph was in prison and God had a plan for Joseph. And we read in Genesis chapter 50 in verse 18, we'll look at it. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said to them, Fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." You see, the second mark we find is that promotion comes from God. Promotion comes from God. In fact, I'm going to read a verse in Psalm 75. Here's what it says. It says, "Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Reminds me of the fact that God is the one that does the promoting. It is God the one that now has Joseph, has he been all this time in prison, and it was God that did something very unusual. We see the unseen work of God, where that God now sends a dream, a prophetic dream, to two people, the butler and the baker. And that prophetic dream told them of their future and what they were to do. And it was because of that God was working behind the scenes while Joseph was in prison for a sentence that he did not commit. But God was doing something special in his life. He had sent those dreams. And we find the unexplained power that Joseph did not lose faith in the promises of God. And by the way, tonight, don't lose faith in the promises of God. God gives you promises. There are 365 some promises or more. Some believe there are more than that. I happen to believe there are, but we know we can find at least 365, probably many, many more. But those promises of God are there to remind us of how big God is. And Joseph knew that God had promised him that one day he would indeed reign over the nation. He knew that. He knew that God had promised him that one day he had a plan for him, a future for him. And this was not the end. Joseph did not give up faith. He believed in God's promises. And these two servants of Pharaoh were in prison with Joseph. And both had troubling dreams. The cupbearer would be restored and the baker would be hung according to Joseph's interpretation of the dreams. But in the circumstances, he was asked that whenever what is fulfilled, whenever you go and you tell Pharaoh, you tell him what I had said. But then, strangely enough, Pharaoh had a dream. He needed someone to interpret the dream. And guess who they called on? Years later, the baker reminded Pharaoh that there was a man in prison by the name of Joseph who interpreted his dream, and what he had said came true. And he said, perhaps maybe he can interpret your dream. And God used an Israelite slave to confound the wisdom of Egypt. You see, there were those who couldn't interpret Pharaoh's dream, and so they called upon Joseph, and Joseph came and interpreted the dream. And Pharaoh was so impressed that he could interpret the dream that he said, what should I do? And he asked for advice, and Joseph gave him advice. And when Joseph gave him advice, he said, you're the man who could do that. You're the man. And the dream was that there was going to be 7 years of famine. And he says, what can I do? And he said, for the next 7 years, you can prepare for the famine. And he says, and he told him how to do it. He says, you're the man, you take care of it. Joseph became the second man in the kingdom. You know where it all started? It all started back when Joseph was a little boy, faithful to God. And by the way, you know, God just works in our life, and we have to believe that God is so much bigger, so much more powerful than the events that come in our life, that sometimes, even though we're living in these times of maybe bad moments, or times when we're uncomfortable, or times when we wished it wasn't there, we have to realize that God is so much bigger than that. Amen and amen. But let me give you the third mark. And that is that Joseph is a picture of God himself. You realize that Joseph is a picture of God? He has a pattern of who God is and what God did. And by the way, it doesn't mean that Joseph was perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But how God worked his life and what God did, there are similarities that we find in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Joseph suffered at the hands of his brothers. Is it not true that Jesus suffered at the hands of the Jews themselves? Joseph was falsely accused. Jesus was also falsely accused. Joseph was sold, or Judas sold Joseph into slavery, and Judas sold Jesus to the cross. Joseph suffered for his people, and Jesus suffered for the world. Joseph delivered his family and his nation from death. Jesus delivered the world from eternal death and gave them salvation. See, Joseph's a perfect picture of that. Joseph shows us and points to the fact that Jesus, the ultimate Savior, the one that we celebrate during this time of the year. And by the way, these decorations are beautiful. Thank you for doing them. And when we look at that and we remind ourselves we celebrate the Savior, we realize that Joseph is a picture of that. But then we see a revelation. The message is a man whom God divinely appointed or chose to deliver the people who rejected him from death. Did you see what it said in verse 20? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Man may have meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. And I love what Joseph, how he responded. I don't know if I could have responded quite that way. I might have said something like this: away, take him away, put him in prison. You know what Joseph did? It reminded me of what Jesus did when he hung on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. You thought it bad, and you thought you were hurting me, but God meant it for good. And God meant it so that I could be able to be here to help you. Jesus was chosen and sent by God the Father to come to this earth to deliver his people from their sin. What a picture. Was it a turning point in Joseph's life? Absolutely. What Joseph went through was a perfect example of a servant who was willing to let God work through him. Now, tonight, I think of the things that happen in our lives we don't always understand, and I know that Joseph didn't either. But I can tell you this, when we go through those difficult times, if we can just cling to the promises of God, if we can just hang on to the promises of God, we can hang on to what God has given to us in His Word, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Aren't you glad God gives us that promise? Aren't you glad that God gives us the promise that He will forgive us for all our sins? Isn't it good to know that we have a God that no matter how in our weakened condition that we can get, that our strength is made perfect in weakness? That's who God is. And Joseph is a reflection of all that God does through his life and through every circumstance and every circumstance that comes in your life. Now, I don't know what circumstance you might be in right now. But this time of year, many people, Christmas is difficult. It's not a happy time. There are times when for some people, because of maybe the passing of a loved one, or maybe because of the struggle that people have had financially, or maybe because of maybe some past history of things in their family, maybe it was difficult for their family. It's not always an easy time. But I'm going to tell you this, that we have God who is so big and so powerful that God may be working through these circumstances in our life that we can never understand. Allow God to do that. Joseph had this major turning point in his life. He went to jail. Not by choice. I'm sure it wasn't Joseph's choice, but it's what God wanted to do in his life. Whatever God's doing in your life, let me encourage you to just lean on Him. Get close to Him. Let Him work in your life because He wants to do His will in your life. Paul writes about that. For it is He who does the will in our lives. He does it, and He does it daily as we surrender to Him. I pray that God will guide us today in this Christmas season to do His will. Heavenly Father.